Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, August 2nd. Jesus doesn't save us to patch up the holes. He replaces our sin with his righteousness. The Life Principles series continues with more on this key to the Christian life.
Would it shock you if I told you I just can't live this Christian life? Thank you, sir. Would that shock you if I told you neither can you? Do I get another amen? Well, one of the happiest days of my life is when I discovered that I couldn't, he knew I couldn't, and it was okay. He was going to show me what the truth was. Because you see, I, like a lot of other people, had struggled and struggled and struggled. And when I was saved at the age of 12, the pastor said, "Charles, you grow up and be a good boy. And one of these days you go to heaven," or something like that, "or God will bless you." And so I did what he said. I tried to grow up and be a good boy. And sometimes I was, and sometimes I wasn't all that good. And somewhere along the way, I figured I had a problem. And I think a lot of people have felt that way. They've listened to somebody preach the gospel. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. And they think, "I'm going to have a new life, and it's going to be fantastic." And it didn't take them very long to think, "I sort of feel like what I used to feel. And things aren't going the way I thought they ought to." And so there's sometimes confusion. I'd been a pastor for quite some time. And I still struggle with that. And I would fast and pray and ask God to give me wisdom and direction and show me the truth. And I came to the conclusion there had to be something better, really. Or something that I didn't know. Somewhere I've missed something. I remember there used to be one man who came down the aisle of that particular church at least twice a month. That's no exaggeration. He came down as sincere as he could be, and he would tell me he was rededicating his life. Well, it got to the point that I thought, wait a minute. Either I don't have an answer for this man, or I keep saying, "Yes, I understand, we pray," and he'd go back up the aisle. Wonderful man, very sincere, but somehow he just couldn't live it, and he couldn't figure out why. And so that bothered me a little bit, but then I was preaching through the book of Galatians. And I was coming to the 5th chapter, which said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, goodness, peace, mercy, all those things. And I thought, "Lord, I don't have that. I may have it on Sunday, but I don't have it on Monday sometimes." And I think about it all through the week. A lot of times I don't have patience, and I don't always have self-control. And so I was struggling with that. I said, "Lord, I'm not going to get up and tell people. It's just the way it is at this point in life. And so what am I going to do?" I genuinely struggled with that. One night, walked out to my study in the backyard, and I was praying, and I'd been reading They Found the Secret, simple little book, 20 biographical sketches of people and their spiritual experiences, and I began with the first one, Hudson Taylor. I read a few pages, and I thought, here's a man who sounds and feels, must feel just like I do. I read that chapter. God opened my eyes to something that, in spite of all my college and seminary and preaching and all the rest and conferences, I never saw this. I got on my face before the Lord, and God spoke to my heart and revealed to me something so simple, so plain, so easy. It absolutely revolutionized my life. And then I realized why I'd failed so many times. And that's what I want to talk about in this message. And that is the key to the Christian life. And I want you to listen carefully, because it'll go right by you if you don't listen carefully. Because I know that many of you feel just like I've felt. Well, this isn't working. There's something wrong with the Christian life. Where's God in all this? So I want you to turn, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and I want us to read these first 7 verses of this chapter. And Paul begins by saying, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to what? immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Now I want you to look at this particular verse. Verse 4, listen to this. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now what in the world does he mean by that? Here is the key to the whole Christian life. And I think for us to understand it fully and simply, let's begin with the first thing that's necessary for us to understand, and that is this life before our salvation. You are living the life that you were living, whatever that might be, and finally, somewhere along the way, you heard the truth of the gospel. And when you did, several things happened. Number one, you got into conviction. That is, the Spirit of God convicted you of your sin. And there was a sense of regret, a sense of shame, a sense of guilt, and maybe a little bit of fear that you've been living your life outside the will of God and not recognizing what God had been trying to say to you. And so what did you do? You made a decision at that point. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that's the beginning of a relationship. Until that happens, there is a separation between you and God. When you are an unbeliever, you are spiritually dead and have no relationship to God. And so when it comes to salvation, the first thing we have to deal with is, what about this relationship? And listen carefully. A person doesn't change that relationship by getting better and better and better and better and better till finally I'm pretty good. In your eyes, maybe, but in God's eyes, total separation. Because what we forget is this, God is holy. And because God is holy, he cannot accept sinfulness. He deals with it. And so every person without Christ is separated from God. I know that runs against the grain of some of you, but it is the gospel truth. So what you have to ask is this, is the Bible true? If it is, you're separated from God. If it is not true, it wouldn't make any difference what you believe anyway. But God says you're separated from him and you need a relationship. With that in mind, we have to ask the question, and that's simply this. Once I realize that I am in that condition, now what? Well, I need to understand what transpires when a person is saved. Here's what transpires. First of all, you're convicted of that sin. The Holy Spirit convicts you. That is, it isn't that you just start feeling bad. The Spirit of God convicts you of that sin, and then there's what? There's shame, there's regret, there's guilt, and all the hurt that goes on inside of you. You absolutely recognize your sinfulness and that you are separated from God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes you aware of that. And then what happens? Because you genuinely want what's right, you confess that sin. You don't say, well, Lord, I know I haven't done everything I should have done. No, you say, I've sinned against you. I've disobeyed you. I've rebelled against you. I've wanted my way. I've had my way. In other words, true conviction helps us to see who we are in the eyes of God, separated from God. So you confess your sin, but confession's not enough. Because there are many people who say, well, I confess my sins. Confession means that you agree with. Now watch this. Confession means that I agree with God about something. That's what the word means, to agree with. So I confess to him my sinfulness. But confession is not enough. Jesus said to his disciples, repentance for the remission of sins must be preached in all the world. So what happens is confession means I agree with him. Repentance means I'm willing for him to turn me away from that to a whole different life. And the moment I accept my sinfulness as having separated me from God, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and died on the cross and shed his blood, and the shedding of his blood paid for my sins. The moment I'm willing to accept him as my sin bearer, as the atoning sacrifice for my sins, and say, I do receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, in that moment, my sins are wiped away, they're forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Sins are forgiven. Our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Holy Spirit seals us as he comes into our life. He comes into our life to seal us forever as a child of God and to live and work through us. And everything in our life has a reason to change, because once I was dead, you read it, now I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Well, all that's wonderful when I think about it, and think about that heaven is our home. And I can remember as a kid growing up and having been saved and thinking that when I die now, I'm going to heaven. And but I discovered, I didn't discover it all right then, but I discovered two things that all of us have to deal with. Watch this carefully. It's one thing to know that you have a relationship to Christ, that you're going to heaven when you die. But after you're saved, we have two big problems. One of them is this. We have to live in a world where there is rebellion, disobedience, all kinds of corruption, evil, wickedness, Satan loose, and all kinds of things we have to deal with all around us. We have to live among people who don't like what we believe and who live for the devil, and it's all about them. That's one thing. And we can't change that. That'll always be till Jesus comes. But the second thing I have to deal with, even though I'm saved, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, is this. I still have within me, like every believer does, because we're still living in these fleshly bodies and we're on earth, we still have that fleshliness in us. That's what Paul called it, living in the flesh, which is that propensity or that, listen, that desire that crops up in us once in a while, and all of a sudden we want to do something that we know is not the will of God. So I have two things I have to deal with as a believer. I've got this world I've got to live in, and secondly, I have this something within me. As long as I live in this life, some people call it the old nature. You call it anything you want to. One thing for certain, we all have it. Amen? We all have it. It's a little light, but I know it's in you. We all have it. And we have to deal with it because that's where the problem comes. If I don't understand what God really arranged for me, then I'm going to struggle with it and struggle with it and struggle with it. Now, I'm not saying that you ever reach a stage in your life where you live perfect from there on. No more sin. It would be absolutely wonderful if it were. Only when we get to heaven. We live in this sinful world, and we have within us, as long as we're living in the flesh and our eyes and our ears, we can hear this and see that and feel and touch the other, then we have to deal with it. So how did Jesus desire to deal with that? What did he do? How do we deal with it? Because once you're saved with the grace of God, that's a settled issue as far as your salvation is concerned. But how do I deal with this? So I want you to go back to Colossians chapter 3 for a moment and notice what Paul said in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, what is the key to living the Christian life? When you trust that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, He came into your life to dwell and to live in you and through you the life that He's provided and planned for each and every one of us. You remember what Jesus said to His disciples that night before He was going to be crucified the next day? He said, now I'm going away. But He said, I don't want you to feel like orphans because I'm going to come back to you. He said, my Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit, one just like me. And when He comes, here's what He'll do, and He gives us those things. So what happens? When you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He came into our life to seal us as a child of God. And now we have within us the life of Christ. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear. And if you'll look in Galatians chapter 2 for a moment, and if you'll notice what Paul says here, and there are many verses, but I just want you to get a few of these down in your thinking. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. And he uses a perfect tense, which means this. Something happened to me in the past, and the effect of that is continuing even now. I have been crucified with Christ. And he says, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Listen, Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now look at this. What does he mean by being crucified? Here's what he means. When you and I trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Bible says, listen, born again. So what happens? We died to our old life. And now that was a dead spirit. Now we have the Spirit of Jesus. We have Christ living on the inside of us. Some of us say, oh, no, wait a minute. But isn't he seated at the Father's right hand? He is. Seated at the Father's right hand, doing his work, at his authority, all over the world. At the same time, remember what he said? He says, I'm going to send the Spirit. And he says, he'll be in you, with you, and upon you. And he says, I'm coming to you. when the Holy Spirit indwelt your life at salvation, the Holy Spirit, listen, a person of the Trinity, his primary responsibility is to live out through us the very life of Jesus. And so when Paul says, when you have Christ, you have everything. You have Jesus. He is our life. What did you have before? You had death. What do you have now as a believer? You have life. You have eternal life. The Son of God living within you. For example, here's another verse that's interesting. In Philippians, look in chapter 1 and the 21st verse, and Paul says it a little different way here, because the phrase in Christ is the Apostle Paul's choice phrase that sums up his theology, being in Christ and Christ in us. Now listen to this carefully. You listening? Say amen. Amen. In Christ makes me fit for heaven. Christ in me makes me fit for this life. And you got to have both. I in Christ, our being in Christ makes us fit for heaven. Christ in me enables me to live a godly life in this life, here and now. So look what he says in Philippians chapter 1. Just one verse, I'll read a short one. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What is he saying? He's saying, because Christ lives within him, for him to live is for Christ to live. That is, Christ is walking and living around in every single one of us. We have Christ living within us. And so often we think of God's up yonder, Jesus up yonder, the Holy Spirit, whoever he is down here, and I'm doing the best I can. It doesn't work that way. The Christian life, listen, he intends for us to live this life joyfully, confidently, and fruitfully. Does that mean I'm not going to have any problems? Certainly doesn't mean that. But notice what I said. Joyfully, confidently, and fruitfully. When difficult times come, I'm confident. But it's Christ's life within you. And until a person is able to understand that, what did he say? He says, Christ who is our life. Once dead, now alive. What makes us alive? The presence of Jesus Christ within us. And so when Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, what he's simply saying is this, that because Christ is living within us, when you and I are alive, Christ is living in and through you. What makes you and me different from the unbelieving world is that we have Christ within us, because is it not true that sometimes we act like them? Christians sometimes act like the world. But what makes us different is not how we act, though we should live a godly life, and we can. What makes us different is we possess the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Paul says, Jesus is in God, and God is in Jesus. And we are in Jesus, and Jesus is in God. That makes us in God. And God who is in Jesus, and Jesus who is in us, and God who is in Jesus, you know what? It's this one awesome relationship. And when a person will think about that and think about it soberly, you have God, the Son Jesus, living within you. You say, well, now, aren't they two different persons? Two different persons. But when Jesus said, remember what he said? He says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. So that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but he's also deity. Now remember this. What makes the difference between us and the rest of the world is that Jesus, God, in the person of his Son through the Holy Spirit, is living his life in us. That's what makes us different.
Thank you for listening to The Key to the Christian Life. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.